over the cliff, and the damage has begun. Diamond Aircraft reassures its customers, and Boeing's battery fix offers layers of fire prevention. This is Aero News for Monday, March 4th, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. Well, it didn't take long for the first effects of the sequester to become known. ANN has received this statement from the Air Force that reads in part, quote, "Effective immediately, active duty, reserve, and guard units will cease all aviation support to the public. This includes the cancellation of support to all air shows, trade shows, flyovers, including funerals and military graduations, orientation flights, heritage flights, F-22 demonstration flights, and open houses, unless the event includes only local static assets. Additionally, the Air Force will cancel the Thunderbird's entire 2013 season beginning April 1st. End quote. Standing down the Thunderbirds will save flying hours to help meet other readiness needs. The Air Force will reduce flying hours by as much as 18%, approximately 203,000 hours, and impacts will be felt across the service and directly affect operational and training missions. Brigadier General Les Kodlik, director of the Air Force Public Affairs, said, quote, "Engaging with the public is a core Air Force mission, and communicating and connecting with the public is more important today than ever before. However, faced with deep budget cuts, we have no choice but to stop public aviation support." End quote. The general added, again quoting, "The Air Force will continue to seek additional ways to remain engaged with the American public." End quote. Diamond Aircraft has sent a letter to its customers to reassure them that the company will meet its ongoing commitments despite beginning to restructure its Canadian division. The letter from CEO Peter Maurer said that while the company has made, quote, "significant reductions to our workforce," end quote, that many of those cuts have come from the DJET program. He adds, quote, "We have retained the personnel required to continue our operations," end quote. Those operations, by the way, include production and delivery of the DA-20, the DA-40, and the DA-42 piston aircraft, production of support parts for all models, customer support, technical services, and continuing airworthiness support, warranty and premium care services, maintenance training, on-site customer support services, and new aircraft sales. Maurer went on to say that the only real effect the restructuring should have on customers is possibly longer than usual delivery times for new aircraft. Boeing officials say the battery solution they've put in place for the 787 Dreamliner offers three levels of prevention, and while FAA Administrator Michael Huerta says the proposed solution, quote, "looks to be very comprehensive," end quote, he still cannot speculate as to when the long-awaited airliners will begin flying again. In testimony before the House Transportation Aviation Subcommittee last week, Huerta told the committee that the solution proposed by Boeing would first try to prevent the individual cells of the batteries from overheating. Should there be an overheating issue, the second layer is designed to keep that or any cell from causing a thermal runaway. Finally, the solution would prevent damage to the airplane should there be a complete battery failure. However, Huerta reasserted that the public's safety is the agency's top priority, and they will not allow the 787 to return to service, quote, "until we're confident that any proposed solution has addressed the battery failure risks," end quote. The actual cause of that battery fire has still not been determined. Meanwhile, Dreamliner pilots at both ANA and JAL, which account for more than half of the 787s that have been delivered, have reportedly taken a significant hit to their income. ANA has some 350 pilots specifically trained to fly the Dreamliner, and their pay has been cut by as much as 30% because of the grounding. One told Reuters that it's like he is, quote, "rehearsing for retirement," end quote. In the old days of Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo, NASA's astronauts expected and waited for something to go wrong, a glitch, and it seemed every mission had one. Now, as we move to commercial privatized space exploration, some things seem to stay the same. After a perfect launch aboard a Falcon 9 rocket Friday morning, the SpaceX Dragon supply capsule carrying stores and experiments to the ISS hit a glitch. The spacecraft reached orbit on time at 10:10 Eastern Standard Time Friday, but a problem with the capsule's thruster pods delayed the deployment of the spacecraft's solar arrays. Fortunately, the problem was short-lived. Less than 2 hours after SpaceX confirmed that the solar arrays had deployed after controllers on the ground completed an override of the spacecraft's onboard computers. From there, the Dragon continued on to the International Space Station and completed a successful docking early Sunday. Dragon is carrying about 2,300 pounds of cargo, including specific experiments, computers, and an air recycling system. When Aero News continues, flight attendants prep for the USAA merger. So close, yet so far away. And adopt a pilot and dream big dreams.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Monday, March 4th, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. U.S. Airways flight attendants, represented by the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, have ratified a single contract with double-digit pay increases, industry-leading job protections and work rules, and a seat at the table as full partners in the merger with American Airlines. The contract, reached with the assistance of the National Mediation Board, sets the stage for additional improvements, uniting both groups under one agreement and positioning flight attendants for future improvements. With an overwhelming number of flight attendants participating, the contract was ratified by 80%. The new contract requires four-party discussions with management from American and U.S. Airways, along with the American Airlines flight attendant representative, the Association of Professional Flight Attendants. These discussions will develop a framework for integrating the two flight attendant groups, including contracts and protections that would apply until the integration takes place. The Gamera 2 team from the University of Maryland's Clark School of Engineering made several attempts this past week to meet the requirements of the Sikorsky Prize, but they were unable to reach more than 6 feet of altitude in the latest iteration of the human-powered quadcopter, the Gamera 2 XR. The latest attempt was made at the Baltimore Convention Center, with judges from the NAA and the American Helicopter Society International looking on, according to a report in the Baltimore Sun. But they stopped after dozens of unsuccessful attempts. The highest altitude they were able to reach was about 6 feet off the convention center floor. While the Sikorsky Prize remains unclaimed, pilot Colin Gore told the paper that flying the Gamera 2 XR is, quote, one of the most thrilling things I've done in my life. More people have walked on the moon than have flown in a human-powered helicopter, end quote. To win the Sikorsky Prize, a human-powered helicopter must reach an altitude of 10 feet for at least a minute and stay within a 10-by-10-meter box demonstrating controllability. In August, the Gamera 2 team flew for 65 seconds, but came a few inches short of the 10 feet required to win the prize. The effort did set a world record of flight duration by a human-powered helicopter, but it did fall just short of the big prize. Southwest Airlines has kicked off another year of its award-winning Adopt a Pilot program, in which thousands of fifth-grade students adopt Southwest Airlines and AirTran Airways pilots. Through this unique volunteer program, pilots commit their resources and time from February through May to educate students through aviation-themed activities related to math, science, and other core subjects, as well as to inspire them to stay in school, set goals, and dream big dreams for the future. Now in its 16th year, more than 900 pilots are visiting and inspiring students across the country. During the four-week-long curriculum, pilots volunteer their time in participating classrooms and correspond from the road via email and postcards. Beyond the program's core mentorship and curriculum-based activities, participating pilots often take it one step further and seek mentors for their students. To learn more about the Adopt a Pilot program, you can visit the Nuts About Southwest blog. Created in 1997, Adopt a Pilot started as a community outreach program in just 50 classrooms in Southwest's destination cities. It has since grown to reach more than 412,000 students nationwide. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.